I don't know why I'd like to do algebra at home, because you got a lot of interruptions at school. No matter how nice everybody else is, you still get interrupted, and I need to concentrate when I'm working at math. So I'd be at the house working on math, and he'd come in from turning out the horses or whatever he'd been doing. He said, "What's the problem, son?" I wished he wouldn't say that. He's my dad, so I'd read the problem out of the book. He'd say, "Don't you know the rule for that? This is my dad." And he hadn't been to school for 60 years. "Don't you know the rule for that?" And he'd tell me the rule for it, and he'd work it out in his head. To raise higher arithmetic, he'd work it in his head quicker than I could with a pencil. And we'd go right down through my algebra list, and he'd tell me whether I had the right answer or not, just out of his head. Now, you see, I don't know, maybe he wasn't, maybe he didn't know how to dance, maybe he wasn't a good bulb. He was, but he didn't learn it going to school. Thing he learned at school when going to school is knowledge, things that he can put to work in your later life, how you're going to make a living, so forth. So schools have changed considerably, and of course, even when I was a kid, I'd never heard tell of anybody furnishing transportation for me to get to school, or buying my books. But I'd never heard tell of that. I don't know why we do it now. Do you? I'm in the third grade, I could go make a friend with somebody in the fourth grade. Next summer, I want to buy your books. See, they'd get a few cents for them, and it wouldn't cost me as much as it would for a new book, and sometimes they'd have notes in the margin, too. That'd help me with my lesson. So, but now, I don't know how you handle it. I guess the books all belong to school, don't they?
Yeah.
So you,
except
you,
at college, you do have to
buy your own books. Well, yes, that's another thing. I about got off on the tail on the college, but not.
That's
right. So I think education is I think I've heard that we're getting back to that in a lot of places. Well, you let people study what they want to. See, that's what I always did in college. That's what I was advised to do, and that's what I've ever advised every college student that ever asked me. Take what you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I did, and before I got out, I had two majors. You got in, looks like you're splattered all over the place. You're interested in something, and you're interested in that, and you gravitate to it, and you do well in the things that you enjoy. So education is a great thing. Of course, Dad educated himself a lot. See, he was in the Navy. One time we broke a rope putting up hay. You put up hay, I guess, with a rope and pulley and a hay fork. He spliced it in just a little bit. And I said, "What did you learn to splice a rope in the Navy?" He said, "No, son, the first splice I ever saw, I made it myself." Well, how could that be? He said, "Oh, I got interested, and I got down the unabridged dictionary and looked up splice, and it showed how to splice a rope. So I got me a rope and cut it in two and spliced it like you." He sought knowledge, and I'm sorry, I don't, but we ought to. This we most of our education, I think, we're self-educated. If we're interested in something, we pursue the knowledge. We can learn a lot if we just keep our eyes open. I always keep my eyes and ears open.
Okay, you can just tell me, like,
I was born in Wabash County, Illinois, January the 14th, 1917.
Now you can just tell me, like, all the places that you lived during while he was in the service. And
since we've been married, we lived in Colorado Springs. We lived in Oklahoma. Loudoun, sorry. And we've lived in Charlotte, Kentucky, Valley Station, Kentucky. And we've lived in Germany for 3 years, in Munich and Augsburg, and then we moved to Fort Bragg in North Carolina, and we've lived in Colorado Springs more than once, and we've lived in Colorado Springs, three different addresses there. But I think that's most of the main moves.
Tell us about Junktown, Oklahoma, Junction City, Kansas.
Oh, it was just hard to find a place to live. And we lived in what used to be an old store building, and rented from two maiden ladies. And I worked real hard and fixed the place up really nice. But they were very difficult to get along with, and I had friends that had children. And one day a friend came to visit me and had a beautiful little girl. She was about 3 years old. And she picked a rose from this yard of the landlady, and it made her so angry, the landlady, that she was very unkind. And I just made up my mind that I didn't want to live there, because they were, that would mow their yard, or charge them anything, because they were maiden ladies and getting a little old.
Tell us about the telephone.
The what?
Getting the telephone installed.
Oh, well, it was hard to get the telephone installed, but that wasn't as bad as, they didn't even have a refrigerator. They had an ice box, and I had to have ice delivered. And we had, was one big room, was with the davenport that you pulled out to make a bed, and there was a leg broken off of the bottom part of that bed, and we just put a Coke bottle under it to hold the bed up. Remember that?
Fit pretty good too, didn't it?
Anyway, my husband had a lot of health problems. He got back from World War II, and he was in the hospital. And there was some friends that we had there, Chmielewskis, and they were leaving a real nice apartment. So they said, "Now, Mrs. Bruckheimer, we're going to try to get you this apartment." So I looked into it, and I told these maiden ladies that I planned to move, and they didn't like that at all, which was none of their business, but I gave them plenty of notice. And Dad was still in the hospital, and the day that I moved by myself, and because we didn't have any, we had furniture stored, but we didn't have any of our furniture with us at that time. And so I could make plenty of trips and move everything in the car. But I was about ready to leave on the last trip, and they came over, and I paid them. I didn't know them anything, but they looked around the house, and they said, "Well, you've left it real clean." It was much better shape than it was when we moved there, but they looked in the car, and one of these women said, "Well, you have two pillows, and those pillows were in that apartment when you moved there." Well, that was a crowning blow, because my mother had made those pillows and given them to me. And I said, "I beg your pardon. I've taken quite a bit off of you, but when anyone accuses me of stealing, this is the last thing." I said, "I did not steal those pillows. My mother made them, and they're nice feather pillows, and they belong to me." So anyway, I got moved, and by the time Dad got out of the hospital, we had a nice place to live, but I'll never forget that. And then
these landladies lived in a corner house right across the street from where we lived. Was a colored area. All the rest of the town in that direction, colored folks. Not that there's anything wrong with colored folks, but in those days, you paid more attention to colored folks than you do now. But she got along with all of them.
Well, there was a family that lived across the street, and you know, the lady was real nice, and I was just friendly with them. But one thing that happened there that was, we lived in Lawton. No, that was Kansas City. That was in Kansas, I'm sorry. But they had streets built with dips in them, and to drain the water off instead of having a very, very good sewer system. So I'd gone to the hospital to see Dow, and on the way home, there was just a severe flash flood. And the streets were so flooded that, been so many years ago, but I think the car drowned out. And that the Lord was good to me. It was right near where some real lovely people knew that were friends of ours. So I don't know whether he had to get the car off the street or whether I was able to get to their house or what, but I went in there and they said, oh, you can't go home. You have to spend the night with us. And so I agreed to it because I was quite a ways from where we lived and I didn't want to go on, even if I thought I could have gotten there, I guess. But I was to call Dow. I'm not sure about that, though. Anyway, I didn't call him. I don't know that I promised him I'd call him when I got home because he knew about the flood. So he called, and he tried all night to get me, and he had the MPs out looking for him.
She's a slick chick. He avoided the MPs all night.
And nobody knew where I was. So I forget. I guess I must have called him the next morning when the water had gone down, but I remember that about Fort Raleigh.
Mm-hmm. See, they didn't have storm cellars or storm sewers. Mm-hmm. Instead of water going down in a what do you call this thing, going down through a sewer, they just made a big ditch at each side of each and every street, and that's where you had a big heavy rain and a lot of water went down those streets.
Well, of course, I had many experiences when I was went to Korea. One thing I'll never forget, the boys were young and we were married about 6 years before we had any children, and we had two in 16 months, which the Lord was good to us because I had to have surgery after that and couldn't have any more children, so I'm glad I had two. But anyway, when he called from Alaska, he was in a summer Arctic indoctrination school, and we lived in Colorado Springs, and he called, and as soon as I heard his voice, I said, oh, you're going to Korea. That was just after the war had started. And he said, how'd you know? And I said, well, I just know. So that was true. And so after he was gone 3 years in World War II, I said, well, I just was crushed. I said, oh dear, now I can't stand this. And he said, well, I don't feel so bad. He said, when we get to Washington, Fort Lawton, in the state of Washington, he said, we'll probably be there for quite a while. He said, we'll just go. We'll all go. I said, well, how on earth am I going to get home with two children this age? And because John was only 9 months old, and Jim was just 16 months older. And he said, well, we just won't worry about that. So anyway, we got there, and we waited in the car while he went to sign in. And he came back, and I said, well, you leave tomorrow, don't you? He said, how'd you know? I said, well, I just knew it. So anyway, and then we went back.
The reason I had this weird feeling was we were given a day to report, which of course is normal. And I was up in Alaska. I had a few things to do, so I sent them a Twix, we call it, an electrical TWX, asking for a 10-day extension. And there wasn't anything. It just said 10-day extension granted. That's all they said. Well, if we're going to be there 10 more days, they can give me a 10-day extension. They must be going to be there for a few days before they sail. That was a 10th. If I'd asked for 11 days, I couldn't have had it.
Well, anyway, so we went back to where we were staying, and Jim fell and he fell against a radiator and cut his head open. And we had to take him to the hospital to get his head stitched up. And then the next morning, well, that was where they had disposable diapers, too. I remember I had to wash some diapers in the bathroom. And then Dad said we could go out to see the buses leave. So we got ready and went out. And we got out of the car and stood. I'll never forget it because there were, well, I don't know how many buses. But we were
right there.